This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Flair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sorrent Petro with you as we are live at Tickets for Less, ticketsforless.com. AFC Championship ticket special going on right now. 10% off Chiefs Bengals tickets. Best seats, best prices. Never any per ticket fees. This is a giant rematch between the Chiefs and Bengals. The snow has been taken out of the forecast. You can get 10% off your AFC Championship ticket order when you use the code 810AFC. That's 810AFC. The code is good on game tickets and that VIP tailgate. Why don't you let them do all the work? All you can eat and drink. It's going to be cold, so you want to be under a tent. You want it to be a little bit warmer. They'll have that. Of course, you want to be having everybody do all the work for you. You got it. And don't forget parking. Price is set at $62 for the AFC Championship games. Got to be purchased in advance. You can get that as well at ticketsforless.com. Compare via fees. You will save on all tickets. Chiefs, Big 12, and more. Super Bowl tickets. Yes, they have you covered on that. K-State, KU coming to Allen Fieldhouse there on Tuesday. They can hook you up with those tickets. They're the official ticket marketplace of the Big 12 Conference and the Big 12 Tournament. That's right. That's right around the corner on March 12th. So don't forget about that. And if you visit ticketsforless.com/contest, that's ticketsforless.com/contest, you can sign up to win two Big 12 championship tickets for the game. Again, the championship game, the 12th, is when that game is coming. And of course, every ticket you buy at TicketsForLess comes with a 100% fan insurance guarantee. Let's talk to our man, Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by Art and Frame Warehouse. Michael and his great staff can frame any of your sports memorabilia, especially those jerseys. They're experts. It's where I take all my jerseys, framekc.com. See him in person at 92nd and Metcalf. Mention the program, save even more. Let's welcome Blair Kirchhoff to the program. Blair, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, one of those days earlier in the day, I had computer problems, and you know how it is when you have to battle through those.
Computer problems, and then we're all running around. The Chiefs being this late into the season, it's a great thing for everybody, but it all means, you know, double duty, extra work for everybody. Hence, Blair catching us via the phone. It's fun, but it's very busy in Kansas City sports right now. We got college teams being ranked. We got, you know, a baseball team that's trading, you know, the guy that was the pillar of the rebuild mode, and Adalberto Mondesi. And well, yeah, we got, by the way, our Chiefs playing in a conference championship game. Not a bad time to be a Kansas City sports fan.
You are absolutely right. There is so much going on. It's just one of those periods, right? I mean, we have a few of them during the year, when the draft comes around, and if we're approaching, baseball's only a month old, and that's, you know, those are busy times.
Yep.
There's that stretch, that intersection of, college football, college basketball, and the NFL. And this is one of those again. And of course, it took the Royals to make the moves that they did this week to stack it up for another busy week in Kansas City sports, but plenty to talk about, plenty to write about, and no complaints here.
All right. Maybe we'll get back around to the Royals and to the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't want to, we've been focusing so much on football. I want to shine a light on what's going on in the basketball teams. And let's start. Dare I say it? The biggest story is Kansas losing. That's our biggest story. I don't think we're stunned K-State found themselves in a tussle even though they ranked number five in the country, Iowa State at Ames, they haven't lost a game up there. That's not shocking. And I don't know that it's shocking to lose to a quality TCU team, lose to a Baylor team, lose to, like I said, a high quality Kansas State team, but do three in a row. This is what did I hear only the second time or third time that this has ever happened for Bill Self. And Gary Parrish, I think, told me never has he lost four in a row, and he's got to go to Kentucky. I mean, how critical is this moment right now for Kansas?
Yeah, if it's pretty important, and Gary's right, they haven't. Bill Self's team hasn't lost four in a row. They've had some, you know, by KU standards, average seasons. I'm using the term average, in an interesting way. You know, they were 25-10 one year. That was an average season for
right.
You know, for KU, right? But they didn't lose four in a row that year. So yeah, uncharted waters if they lose in Lexington on Saturday. So I liked his reaction. It was actually kind of predictable. I think when they went down to Baylor and lost on Monday night, after he was really ticked off with the Saturday loss to TCU at home, they played better, didn't win, but he wasn't going to, you know, he wasn't going to continue to be mad at the team. I think as well as any coach I've seen, he sends, you know, messages through the media. And I think the message was after the Baylor loss, you know, it's not a panic time, but the warning is the schedule's not getting any easier. You can't look on the schedule and find the game in which they're going to, it looks like an automatic W to get them turned around, to get them feeling different. They're just doesn't exist, right? Because after Kentucky, isn't it K-State in Lawrence? And
yes, at Ames, back out on the road for Iowa State.
Yeah.
Yes, there is no left. Don't you even feel, Blair, like, I guess it was after the win against Iowa State. He gets the 2-point win against Iowa State, and then he almost forecast this. He said, you know, look at our schedule. It's a joke, is what he said. And he goes, you know, we've got to go to at K-State, TCU, at Baylor. He mentioned Kentucky. He just rattled off. Then K-State, Iowa State. I mean, it's nothing but Kentucky's not ranked right now, but I'll bet if they beat Kansas, they would get back into the polls because they've won three in a row right now and seemingly have righted the ship. And we talked to Gary about Kentucky. They've changed the lineup and injury necessitated it. But now even as guys have gotten back, they've gone with the lineup that's been better for them. So they're a better team and they're on the brink of being in the top 25. But then top 25 teams against K-State, Iowa State, and Texas after that, I kind of feel like Bill Self knew this was coming, right? That, hey, maybe he didn't think they were going to lose three in a row, but I think he probably felt kind of a 3-4, maybe a 2-5 stretch was lying ahead. I don't think he's stunned by this. And I guess my question is, you know, oftentimes I look at his team and I go, okay, this is the year he kind of comes back to the pack. And all of a sudden I look up, it's December 20 something, and he's number 3 in the country. Right? Number 2 in the country, maybe number 1 in the country. And it hasn't looked that good because I think he always gets more out of the sum of the parts, right? He always builds a team. But is this the year that, hey, listen, you know, they had a team that was really senior laden. This one's younger. And you know, the talent isn't quite as good. And there are good pieces. Number one, they're going to be better later. They always are. But maybe this one is a little bit of a step back and a little bit more like that 25-10 team. And at least in this kind of rugged league that reality is when they rose to that, they were out over their skis when they got back up to number 2 in the country.
Yeah. To some extent, for sure. You know, when you look at this team and compare it to even last year's club, it was, you're right, more veteran. The fact that their number 2 scorer or a number 2 option is a freshman, even when he's had alpha freshmen, you know, like Andrew Wiggins and Josh Jackson, and they didn't have to carry the entire load. Wiggins did to some extent. I mean, he was by far their top player. But even in the Josh Jackson year, you still had Frank Mason, Devontae Graham on that team. And with Grady Dick, he played poorly in the TCU game and got called out for that, and the defense especially, and he was, I think, 1 of 7 on threes. It really contributed to that lopsided loss. But when your number 2 choice is a freshman, as talented as he is, as good a season as he's having, I think that's what makes this team a little different than some of his most successful teams. And you know, until this stretch, we were starting to think that this could be one of his more successful teams, just who they had beaten, you know, the overall record, going to number 2 in the country. And gosh, maybe he is, he is finding a way to make this. They had, KJ Adams was came out of nowhere to have his great start to this season. So, but now in this losing streak, you know, Dick has not had this stretch. He hasn't had hasn't played as well as he did previously. Dewan Harris, I think, has played somewhat poorly, maybe his poor stretches he's had, and they're not getting the ball on the screen and rolls to KJ Adams as they did earlier in the year. So there are all kinds of issues that maybe we saw a little bit of it while things were going well, but now they all seem to be coming together at a bad time for Kansas. And what is also interesting about this run is it happened when Jacqueline Wilson's had two of the best games of his career, right? The 38 against K-State and 30 against TCU, and then 23 the other night against Baylor. So he's playing like an All-America. But the team around him, not so much. And I think we're also seeing how much they miss David McCormick, or having a big guy, because they're not there yet with that prospect. I know that Bill wanted that big man emergence to happen this year. And when KJ Adams started playing so well, it was like, well, maybe they can get by without having without having a presence in the middle. But it's increasingly apparent that that's not the case, and they're going to have to they're going to have to come up with some solution for the middle.
Yeah, that is a great point, and maybe down a score as well. I mean, I think if they come out the other end, and this is a team that right now they're on the two line, and maybe they finish there on the two line, maybe they fall down to the three line. Because of just how rugged this schedule is going to be. That's one of the things I talked about with Gary as well, was that, you know, right now Ken Pom's predicting a four-way tie for first in the league at 11-7. You know, that I said, would 11-7, or if somebody can just get to 12-6, would 12-6 with another loss or two in your non-con, we're talking about a 7-8 loss team, are they actually going to get a one seed? And he said, yeah. He said the modern eyes, you know, on the committee, no, they would say, hey, this is the toughest league. Of course, you're going to get beat up. They would get there. I'm not so sure. And I don't think necessarily the Jerry Palms and the Joe Lunardis are making a mistake as much as, you know, they're kind of grouping all those teams towards the top. We don't have the champion. When we have the champion, they're going to get bumped up a little bit. Right now, you just have the teams that are out in front and what they know is going to be a rugged league. And so I do get that. But I also think it's quite possible that the 2 and 3 lines just chock full of Big 12s. Right. I think that's possible as well. And if that would be the case for Kansas, I think what you're hoping is that they do, you know, find a way to get a little bit more out of the inside. KJ Adams continues to grow, but they at least have found that Jalen Wilson can shoulder a big load, right? They've got a go-to guy. By seniority, he would be the guy you'd give the big shot to, but Grady Dick was still there. If anything, maybe they're establishing a pecking order. Guys have got to get better, right? Other guys have got to make shots. McCullers has got to get better offensively. I think that's a little bit disappointing right. That he hasn't done more. But we at least now know there's a pecking order. And you get down to shot clock has 5 seconds. We're going to get the ball to Jalen, right? You know, Dick, if he's open, we'll let it fly. And it, you know, he's much more polished than Christian Brown was. No offense to Christian Brown, but I remember a lot of shots that were kind of rushed when they got to Christian Brown. Dick is in rhythm. You know, the game doesn't seem too fast. But if he's now the two – and Wilson's the one, they just kind of need to find the three or have somebody step up each night to be the three. And it can still be a really dangerous team. Maybe it's not a national championship team, but it could still be a team that could, you know, put a scare into the Final Four. Maybe Jalen Wilson emerging as that number one guy is at least, okay, check that off the box. Now let's go find number three.
Yeah, I like that. I think about it in terms of how Jalen Wilson's season is stacking up to Ochai's from last year, and when he went on to have a first team, you know, came back, had a first team All-America season, and then it became a first round draft pick, and that of course was the Jalen Wilson path. He could have gone out last year, decided to come back and maximize his value, and he appears to be doing just that, especially the way he's taken over games the last couple of weeks. You know, funny, maybe I'm not remembering it correctly, but I just thought there were some games last year when Ochai, I'd have to look at the game by game, but he would not be kind of an alpha player. His scoring was low, but then he'd come, you know, he'd average 20 for the week, but he might get it, 28 in a you know, in a 12 or something. But Jalen Wilson is averaging 21 now, I think, and it just seems like he's coming up big every game now. And of course, Kansas needs it. And who knows, you know, what the outcomes or how, what the margin of loss in these games would have been if he didn't have the games that he's having. So, you know, the fact that he's 6'8", can go to the rim, he's doing that really well. He's knocking down the three. He's just such a tough matchup. And, you know, Kansas just need, you know, I'll go back to it. They just have to find that, you know, the guy in the middle, the paint presence, Uday or Zubi, one of those guys that I thought in the beginning of the year, one of them would finally eventually emerge and fill out the starting lineup, but it hasn't happened yet. So, this is a team that really heavily relies on, you know, on Wilson and Grady Dick for scoring. You know, DeJuan Harris isn't a scorer, and you're absolutely right about McCuller. He's the one that needs to step up on his offensive game. And they, you know, we talk about it with the NBA a lot with the third, you know, the third scorer. That's what this team needs. They need a reliable third scorer. And it really, you know, they have some games, but it's not there consistently. So McCuller should be that guy.
We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff. We're going to take a break here so we don't get behind. I want to come back and talk about the K-State Wildcats, where they're at. Are they going to fall at all after that loss? More with Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star. Our college insider is with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Art and Frame Warehouse, framekc.com. That's where you can find them online. 92nd and Metcalf. Mention Petro. Mention the program and get an extra discount. They are the best when it comes to framing your sports memorabilia, especially those jerseys. Those are not easy to frame. Nobody does it better than them. Remember, a 100% lifetime guarantee on all their work. They've only had to honor that once or twice, but it's nice to know it's there. They've never had to fix anything they've done for me, and they did all my jerseys. Go see them at 92nd and Metcalf, framekc.com. All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. How many players have won the Heisman Trophy and Super Bowl MVP? The answer is 4. Roger Staubach, Jim Plunkett, Marcus Allen, and Desmond Howard. Howard won his for the Packers in Super Bowl 31 on this date in 1997. Very good. I like that. I remember Desmond Howard, Marcus Allen. I forgot. Jim Plunkett, that's right, was a Heisman Trophy winner. Roger Staubach should have gotten all 4, only got 2. Blair Kirkhoff is with us here in the program. Blair, how many of those did you get? Did you get all 4? You probably swept the board.
No, the first one I thought of was Marcus Allen. You know what? The one I didn't think of, oddly enough, was Staubach. He was the first one to do it, right? With the Navy and then the Cowboys. So, and I'm trying to think, who is there anybody eligible?
Are you playing right now? I guess Derrick Henry could get it done if he would, you know, be going. I mean, there's, you know, we don't have a lot of Heisman trophies, don't tend to have the best NFL career. I guess a comeback from Tim Tebow. I'd have to scroll through my Rolodex of Heisman Trophy winners of late. As a Devonta Smith could get it done if he would be the MVP for the Eagles this year.
That's right. And, you know, like people like Jalen Hurts, they were a finalist for the Heisman, did not win it. Burrow.
Yes, Joe Burrow. Yeah. Yes, that would be a good Joe Burrow, Devonta Smith. That's probably it, isn't it? I can't think of a Heisman winner on the Niners. No one on the Chiefs. So, yeah, two guys that could add their name to that. We'll see if it happens. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we were playing for, the best barbecue in town, is at Joe's, joeskc.com. Order it for your trip home. And, of course, if you want it for game day, they do a great job. You order it for Saturday night, pick it up. It's all wrapped up perfectly, comes with the heating instructions. It is absolutely fantastic. Still enjoying the leftover Joes from my big spread that we put together last week for the divisional round. They're absolutely the best in the business. Rocket fast service. I'll give you everything you need on the take home. It's absolutely fantastic what they do. Their service is incredible. I can't say it's as good as the barbecue because nothing's as good as the barbecue. Get you some Joes tonight. JoesKC.com. If you're going to get the grill going today, you need any help with your tailgate, the Kansas City Barbecue stores at 119th and Strangline. Go see them there. The Kansas City bbqstore.com. Dan and his staff, they're just like the restaurants. They're incredible. All the knowledge and know-how, sauces, rubs, utensils, the grill itself, everything is right there at the Kansas City Barbecue Store at 119th and Strangline. We're talking to Blair Kirchhoff as we broadcast live. At Tickets for Less. Remember the code 810AFC to save yourself 10% off those Chiefs-Bengals tickets for the AFC Championship game. It's good for tickets and the VIP tailgate. Blair, how about the K-State Wildcats? You know, they get a tough loss at Ames. I don't even think that's going to ding them in the rankings. I mean, if they handle business with Florida, I think they stay right about where they are. Maybe they fall to six, but there's going to be no tumble given for losing a 2-point game at Iowa State, is there?
No. It's one of those games that I was equally impressed with both teams. The fact that Iowa State playing so well at home this year and have been in mostly low scoring defensive games. They dictate the pace. They ended up scoring 80 in that game and winning, and Kansas State never going away. You know, trimming 10-point deficits to two and being right there at the end. That was a high level basketball game, and now you can't wait for the rematch. But that's how it is in the Big 12 this year, because every game it seems to be a high level game. But yeah, I was. So impressed. When Marquise Noel had the big game, and this is a Kansas State team that's just fun to watch. They really have it rolling, and I don't see him coming back. There'll be some slippage. We'll lose some games to Big 12 this year, but they are here, and now they're starting to get some love in bracketology. It's so much fun for Kansas State fans to follow where the Lunardis and the Palms have the Wildcats going right now. And hey, you know, whenever Kansas City has a first or second round or a Sweet 16 like they do this year,
yeah,
you always wonder what the chances of Kansas getting there. Well, now it's right now. It's what are the chances of K-State getting to, you know, possibly playing Kansas City.
How fantastic would that be to let Purple take over Kansas City? KU's yeah. had it. It'd be great if KU was. It'd be great if both of them. That it's regional final this year, though, right? For
Kansas regional, City.
So it's not going to be a pod thing where they could both be there, even though they're not playing. But how fantastic would it be if both of them came through Kansas City to have that one?
That would be unreal.
And
you
how
know, last year you had Kansas and Iowa State in the Sweet 16, but it was up in Chicago. And Iowa State kind of upset its way there, right? They were like an 11 seed or something and got there. So you get one, it's a great thing. You get two, and it's the best regional site in the country.
How pissed would K-State fans be if they had to go to KC and play KU? You know, don't you think that they're thinking, listen, we've watched many a Kansas game on the TV where they were playing in Kansas City. We want to go through Kansas City and just us through Kansas City. Don't put the Jayhawks over there coming through that same bracket. Get them out in, you know, Salt Lake City or San Jose or whatever, where we always get trucked to. I don't even know who. I think Vegas has a regional final, by the way. That'd piss them off even more. Okay, fine. We got Kansas City, but they get a trip to Vegas? Like, what the hell is going on? Their fans are so coddled and spoiled. Can't just hear them. It'd be great. It would be a lot of fun to see, P&L taken over by Purple and have K-State be able to make that a home game for them. Be great for Kansas as well. Be great for Iowa State. I mean, should we talk a little bit about the Cyclones? I mean, they're really good. T.J. Otzelberger has done a fantastic job with that team. And, you know, they could just as easily be the one that emerges at the top. There are three teams with two losses. K-State's one of them, Iowa State and Texas the others. You know, he's reloaded that team. It's clear that he understands the portal and the NIL and how to build a team in this time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I totally agree on Otzelberger. What a coach. You know, he was, had been on the Iowa State bench, helped recruit some of the really good teams under former coaches, and goes out to Vegas and doesn't really, you know, I don't know how much he distinguished himself there, but man, what a incredible job he did last year in his first year at Iowa State. He took over for Prohm, right? And that team had gone 2-22 the previous year. Following year, Otzelberger gets them into the Sweet 16, and this year he's got them playing so well with a nice mixture of transfers and his own players. So Like the Kansas game you alluded to earlier, where they, I think it was 62-60 was the final, and that's the way, that's their style, that's how they play, and then they turn around and get into a little bit of a running game with K-State earlier this week, and end up surviving that game. So that's how you know you got something special. You can beat quality opponents playing different styles, and that's what the Cyclones have done.
Yeah, no, and you know who's the biggest benefactor of who I think has improved their stock the most this year?
Who is that?
Desiree Reed-Francois. Because I think Gates has been an outstanding hire. You know, I know he hasn't, reached the rock star status of Jerome Tang, but year one, it's been an incredibly successful year so far for Mizzou basketball. And then our previous hire at UNLV is TJ Otzelberger. And, you know, he had, like, I think 1 year at UNLV, and then he was off to Iowa State. But he is proving to be outstanding. She's clearly shown an eye for hiring talented coaches. And, you know, I think, you know, we've there's all the reason to appreciate what Travis Goff has done. You know, Lance Leipold has been a great hire, and Bill Self is seemingly very much on board. So you've got him happy. Gene Taylor has made excellent hires. You know, obviously they were already pleased with Chris Kleiman. Now add on Jerome Tang. He's certainly, his stock has gone up. But, you know, we didn't really know what to think of Desiree Reed-Francois. They're not very, frankly, accessible. To get a chance to talk to them and get a feel for them. And so you're left to deal with just evaluate purely on results. Football team's been 500-ish. Basketball team has really improved. But, you know, you can look back and say, because, you know, there was a conversation like, well, who'd she really hire? Who'd she nail it with at UNLV? TJ Otzelberger, even though he didn't stay there, has proven that, yes, that was an excellent hire. That was a good eye for coaches. And so I think that is a feather in her cap. And Tiger fans can feel better that, you know, if she's got to go hire a coach, She has a pretty good idea what she's doing.
Yep. And it started with, you know, firing Konzo Martin. Look, it may have been obvious to some people that he had to go, but he'd been in the NCAA tournament the previous year, and they actually they've known each other, Desiree Reed-Francois and Konzo Martin, since Martin was a coach at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They'd known each other a long time. So it took a little bit of courage to stand up and say, it's time for a change in this program. And then she goes out and finds a coach that, frankly, I'd never heard of him. And I didn't see him on many lists of potential successors at Missouri, but there he is coming in and gets off to a great start and, you know, has that run in December where they beat Illinois and Kentucky. I thought this week, going down to Ole Miss and winning, even though Ole Miss is not having a good season, you know, Missouri seemed to have just hit a little bit of a lull. After having that great start and going into conference play with all the momentum and picking up a couple of good wins in early in conference play, but then hit a little bit of a lull. I thought it was important to get back on the on winning track. And the other thing that Dennis Gates is doing, all of a sudden recently, Isaiah Mosley has stepped up, and Diarra, the big guy, has stepped up, and he's getting it done with different players, guys that weren't, getting it done, or even in the case of Mosley, not even playing earlier this year. So, he seems to he's managing his roster well, and I don't think there's a doubt now that Missouri is a tournament team. I guess they could play their way out, but right now they're in the tournament, and. It would be fantastic for us in Kansas City to have the three schools that we cover all be in the NCAA. I don't think Missouri fans feel that way, but I know us in Kansas City, we want that to happen.
Yes. And we mentioned the Tigers and what they have going on, and they had to get that win against Ole Miss. One that was like on the schedule. You go, okay, they're the bottom feeder. You can't lose there. And not only did they, in past times, maybe Mizzou would win. It might be by 1 point or 2 points. They won and treated Ole Miss like the bottom feeder that they are. If you're Mizzou, you got to go play a Big 12 team. They get Iowa State, right?
How interesting is that? Yeah.
I mean, but how much are you like, good Lord, why are we getting this? This is ridiculous. I mean, you gotta be kidding me that we have to go play a team like, but you were going to play somebody that was going to be nails no matter who you had, right?
Yep. No, that's when they put together the Big 12 SEC or SEC Big 12 Challenge. The ESPN and the conferences do look at the most interesting matchups, and if there isn't one that's obvious, like Kansas, Kentucky, and in the past Baylor's played Kentucky or Oklahoma has played Auburn or LSU. I remember when Buddy Hield was at OU, they played LSU with Simmons. If there's not an obvious one like that, they go with regional matchups. And so, you know, with Missouri, you've got a lot of options because of the old Big 8, Big 12 rivalries. And this one, look, there's a history between Missouri and Iowa State. They played some great games in their, when they were conference brethren. I remember, was it a 112-109 game in the early 2000s with Clarence Gilbert and Keon Dooling's team? And this is a really interesting game and a big test for Mizzou. It'd be a great opportunity to get a chance to play another ranked team and have another full house at Mizzou Arena, which is one of the great revelations of this year for college basketball, is how Missouri fans are reacting to this team. They're filling up Mizzou Arena, and we all know how tough it can be to have an 8 o'clock game, and not that this one is, but you know, an 8 p.m. game on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night to fill that arena, and it's happening for them this year. So that's one of the marquee games as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
with the Challenge Series on Saturday.
And if they can get that done, that'd be great. If they lose, though, either way, win or lose, a critical section of their schedule comes up after that because it's LSU, Mississippi State, South Carolina in the KenPoms, 121, 51, and 247. Because after that, they go up against a stretch that Tennessee, Auburn, A&M, Mississippi State. But Tennessee, Auburn, A&M, 224 and 36. Right? I mean, 36 and 51, how much difference is? They turn around and play Mississippi State again before finishing with their last three, Georgia, LSU, Mississippi, 94-121, 95. It's going to be important to get the wins banked against these teams and then make sure you try to steal one in that tough stretch of three and then handle business again at the end if you want to be an NCAA tournament team. If it's a rocky road now, you're probably going to get beat up in that middle three, and you're going to be needing wins at the SEC tournament. But you want to try to keep your nose above 500 in that SEC, and I think it's going to be important to bank some of those wins after that. I think that'll be a really important stretch for them. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star, a little college basketball talk right now. We want to take a break. I want to come back. I want to get into a little bit of college football because I think there's a couple of things. One, Brian Kelly being overpaid by LSU, I think, is hysterical. But also the contract of Josh Heupel, I think, is quite interesting. The fact that he's getting $9 million a year. We'll do that with Blair Kirkhoff. Coming up next, we're broadcasting live here at ticketsforless.com. Don't forget, AFC Championship Ticket Special going on. 10% off on Chiefs Bengals tickets. Just use that promo code 810AFC. It's good for the VIP tailgate passes and your game tickets. You got to act right now because the code expires tonight at midnight. You got from now until midnight to take advantage of it. Again, that 10% off works for tickets and the VIP tailgate passes. Going to be a cold one. The snow is out of the forecast, but going to be a cold one. No better place to be than under the tent. Be a little bit warmer. And of course, they do all the work, all the eats and drinks, get those VIP tailgate passes. Even if you already got your tickets, use that code 810AFC to get 10% off on your VIP tailgate passes at ticketsforless.com. Great Kansas City company, locally owned and operated, 100% fan insurance guarantee comes with every ticket you purchase. And of course, you also know you're buying from a local company. Kansas City's own right here. Dozens and dozens of employees right here. Great KC company. Also voted one of the best places in Kansas City to work. So not only are you buying from a Kansas City company, you're buying from a great Kansas City company. Don't forget Super Bowl tickets as well. KU, K-State, you want to go see Allen Fieldhouse with KU and K-State rocking it up? You can do it right now. Go to ticketsforless.com. And, of course, they got folks that can help you out if you got any questions at 913-685-3322. More with the great Blair Kirkhoff next here in the program. Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We talked to Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by our friends at Art and Frame Warehouse. FrameKC.com is Michael's great website there at Art and Frame Warehouse. Any kind of sports memorabilia you need, whether it's boxing trunks, Olympic medals, Olympic torches, they can display it, make it beautiful for your man cave, your office. Specializing in jerseys, it's where I take all my jerseys to be framed, all my magazine covers, newspaper clippings that I've got. They do a fantastic job. Custom framing, but warehouse. House prices, right? They buy in bulk, saving money, passing those savings on to you, but still giving you the most beautiful framing you're going to find anywhere. They frame everything. So if you got some family photos as well, make sure you mention 810, mention the program, mention Petro. You save. They give you a discount there at 92nd and Metcalf online at framekc.com. And of course, we're here at Tickets for Less. We can get those AFC Championship game tickets 10% off when you use the promo code 810. AFC 810 AFC. That's good for the VIP tailgate passes and your AFC championship game tickets. Ask about KUK State tickets. They got those on the site as well. And of course, Super Bowl tickets as well. It's all at your hometown location, ticketsforless.com. Blair, what do you make of the contract? $9 million a year for Josh Heupel. God, why weren't we football coaches? Why weren't we football coaches, Blair? One big year. And, you know, we mentioned, all of a sudden, Eli Drinkwitz, $6 million doesn't look like such a big deal anymore. $500 gets you $6 million. Scare one of the big boys, get you $9 million. We should have been football coaches, shouldn't we?
Yep. We should all be football coaches. The economy would be so much better if we were all paid like football coaches. He was at five, and now he's going to be at nine. There, and if I read this right, he'll owe Tennessee $8 million if they fire him next season. So there's always that. There's always the buyout clause of a contract. But the other thing I found interesting was $9 million makes him the fifth highest paid coach in the SEC. Not two, but the. But behind Saban and
Jimbo, Smart,
Jimbo and Brian Kelly also, who picked up an extra cool million this week, but a clerical error. But
actually picked it up back. I think was it April and May? Couldn't we all be blessed to make so much money we don't notice an extra $1 million dumped into our check for 2 months? Come on, four checks. He's heavy a quarter mil four times. Doesn't even notice. Can't even see it.
Right. It was one of those deals where they put they sent that money to his personal account and also to his LLC, and that's how that's where the duplication came from. But still, nobody noticed until they did an audit. Right.
Unbelievable.
Another quarter mil in there. I guess that's what I made. But no, Heupel. Listen, I think in the grand scheme of things, if you just take the amount out, the $9 million, which seems pretty rich, I think he should be among the top quarter or top five SEC coaches. Incredible season for Tennessee. I mean, the season that their fans have been clamoring for such a long time. Were they 11-2 and had beat Alabama? Won their bowl game. Beat Clemson in the I think it was the Orange Bowl. So close to being a dream season for Tennessee, and they seem to believe that they've got the guy. I think at least with him, he gets a raise that's based on results. Jimbo, I just have never understood that pay escalation at Texas A&M. And then Brian Kelly had a nice first year at LSU and then capped it off by the big bowl, beat the Jesus out of Purdue in the bowl game. So I think four of the five that are the top five paid coaches are feeling good about the direction of the program. Texas A&M, probably not in that group.
Can I tell you what I think got him an extra million, got him from eight to nine, whatever number he got, what I think $1 million was? Joe Milton. When the backup quarterback came out there, because you'd have the question right now, if Hooker had never gotten hurt and he had these results, I'd be sitting here going, is he a one quarterback coach? Right? Is this all, is this, hey, he, you know, he got a kid in there. He was a transfer, and he made it all go. Well, first of all, he had to go to a transfer. So does that mean he can't recruit the quarterback spot? Is he not going to be able to find the guy? I'd have questions about him, more questions. You're like, okay, but are we going to give him all this money and then watch, you know, bad quarterback play and watch him sink back? But you have a kid who has an enormous arm come in and sling it all over the place and drop dimes on, you know, all over the place. It's like, no. He seems to get the quarterback spot. So he found a transfer. Now he's got a kid in program ready to take the place. And listen, he's going to be rough around the edges. But I really do think that made him a lot of money, because if I'm an AD, I feel much better that he can do the, you know, he can handle the quarterback. Like, that's the big question with Eli, right? That's why I question the contract they gave him. He's yet to prove that he can nail it at the quarterback spot. That looks really good at Tennessee. That's the big difference that I see.
Well, and gosh, and they had weapons around the quarterback, the good wide receivers, just everywhere Josh Heupel's been, including Missouri. You know, he's worked with the quarterback and has succeeded. You know, it's funny. I hadn't thought about this until now, but the NFL, we know one of the trends in NFL coaching hires is the quarterback guru type guy becoming the head coach. You know, Zach Taylor at Cincinnati, and, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, McVay, guys that have been hired, and some, you know, as is the case of Kingsbury, fired in the last few years. But that's kind of what Josh Heupel is. You know, a quarterback, you know, guru type of guy. And, you know, with Drew Locke, you know, and then, you know, he succeeded with his offense at Central Florida, and now with Tennessee. And if you have mastered as a coach that position, and then you hire a good staff to take care of everything else, those are the geniuses, I guess, of football coaching right now, the guys that have great knowledge and influence over their quarterbacks. And that's what Josh Heupel has become.
Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic for them. And again, if you got the quarterback figured out, you got a lot of it figured out there. But I do love that fifth highest paid at $9 million per. I feel a lot better talking about them making that kind of money when the kids are now getting a taste, right? They're getting some cash.
They are getting a taste.
Yeah.
When a recruit can think about a $13 million NIL, then
they're getting theirs. They're getting theirs. It doesn't feel quite so oily for the college coaches to be getting theirs as well. And it just shows, but they're going to pay you in the SEC. Go be an SEC college football coach. That's the way to make a buck. Blair, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We will talk with you again next week.
Sounds good, friend.
That is the great Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star. Joins us each and every week. He's brought to you by our friends at Art and Frame Warehouse, framekc.com. Go see Michael and his great staff in person, 92nd and Metcalf. If you need anything framed, it's the only place my family goes for framing, whether it's our personal stuff or, of course, my beloved sports memorabilia. They are absolute experts. They will deliver and install. I highly recommend paying for that. They are absolutely fabulous. I get nervous just bringing something home. They'll bring it out. Their van is all set to bring your stuff, and then they are the best at hanging that stuff. Man, those jerseys are heavy. Like, you got to do it right, and they do it right. Absolutely fantastic. Not only is everything in my house framed by Art and Frame Warehouse, it's all also installed by the folks at Art and Frame Warehouse. Go to framekc.com today. Mention A10. Save even more. We are live here at ticketsforless.com, where you can save 10% off on Chiefs Bengals tickets. AFC Championship game tickets. Save 10%. Use the promo code A10AFC. Got till midnight tonight. At midnight, that's gone. Use that code. You can use it for game tickets or VIP tailgate passes. Of course, get your KUK State tickets on the site there as well. Take advantage of that. They've got the Jayhawks game at home against the K-State Wildcats on January 31st. Cat fans, you got a reason to go to Lawrence. Get fired up. It's a giant game. Get your tickets right there. Super Bowl tickets, of course, Big 12 basketball tournament tickets, championship game tickets as well. You can win those. Go to ticketsforless.com/contest to sign up to win 2 Big 12 championship tickets for the game on March 12th in Kansas City. Every ticket order comes with a 100% fan insurance guarantee.
Franchise has played in the most conference championship games without a win. Brought to you by Good Sense.